Please be seated. What is your definition of the good life? Maybe you picture yourself in a posh day spa. Your nails being manicured and pedicured to perfection, your body being gently massaged while total tranquility just oozes from every pore. Or maybe you picture yourself ripping along a sunny coastal highway through the hairpin turns in your Maserati convertible, the wind whipping through your still perfect hair as you glance admiringly at the supermodel sitting next to you. Or maybe the good life is going to be for you when your peers finally recognize your brilliance and you come home with a Nobel Prize. In all of these sorts of fantasies, you might sit back and say, now this is living. But let's be honest. These fantasies are just that. They're fantasies. Most of us are never going to own a villa on the French Riviera or be a Hollywood superstar or have our own reality TV show. Most of us, for the most part, are going to have lives that are relatively normal. But does that mean that we can't have a good life? In the beginning part of his 12th chapter of his letter to Romans, Paul describes what real living is all about. From Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the word of our Lord. Most often we're told in this life that if we want to have a good life, it's something that's up to you to achieve. You have to find a way to achieve happiness on your own. Much different from that mindset is what Paul tells us in these verses from Romans, that real living comes when you sacrifice everything to God. It's not something that we necessarily like to hear, that we have to sacrifice everything. Sure, we're used to making sacrifices in many different areas as students, as athletes, as parents, as spouses. But to sacrifice everything? How in the world can I be able to sacrifice everything that I am? How can I be a living sacrifice? In the chapters leading up to these verses in Romans, Paul has been expressing some pretty basic, but also some heavy-duty theology. He's made it very clear as he's worked his way through that all of us are born as filthy, rotten sinners who deserve nothing from God but to be sent to hell for all eternity. He even gets very specific with some of the sins of which we're guilty. Sexual sins, envy, murder, strife, deceit, gossiping, etc. But he also makes very clear the good news. The good news that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, has taken away the punishment for all of those sins, for all of any sin that we commit, by his perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his glorious resurrection from the dead. And thus we are justified. We're declared innocent in God's courtroom, in his heavenly courtroom. And through faith in Jesus, when we believe that we are forgiven of our sins, we have life forever with God in heaven. And that is why we're able to present our bodies as living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable to him. We consider what God has done for us through his Son, that he has rescued us out of the very depths of hell. And we say to God, what do you want me to do? As we contemplate the incredible, undeserved love that our Father has shown us, we respond in willing obedience, looking for ways to serve God every single day. Now, it doesn't mean that we need to contemplate any sort of vision from God in which he tells us to take a mission trip to Madagascar, we can serve God through many different ways in our daily lives, through various vocations in our daily lives. Can you be the best roommate possible? Not getting all snarky about little things that bother you about living in close proximity with people you don't really know that well. Can you be the best employee possible? Not cutting corners as you're completing your tasks, but doing the best job possible. Can you be the best spouse possible? Loving and caring for your beloved as you want to be cared for and loved. Can you be the best teacher possible? Not thinking of the semester as something to be endured, but as a time where you can actually teach your students. If you want to present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, wake up every day and tell God, Lord, use me as you see fit. That is living. The other part of real living toward which Paul encourages us has to do with our lives being transformed. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It's so easy, isn't it, to be conformed to this world? Think of all of the pressures that we face every day to be a certain way, to act in a certain way. We're bombarded every day with images and sounds that tell us that this or that is the norm for how we're supposed to dress, or what we do with our hair, or what we eat, or what we think, or what we aspire to. So often we simply want to fit in with those around us that we end up becoming like one of the little lemmings in a whole group of lemmings and go along with the crowd. We want to be an individual, sure, but not so much as to stick out so that we're considered weird. And unfortunately, in our striving to fit in, all too often, we go along with the crowd and we end up sinning like everyone else does. Our very moral compass starts to weaken when we decide that, well, we don't want to be seen as someone holier than thou, and we give in just a little, and we give in just that once. But that one time easily turns into the second time, and then the third, and before you know it becomes a habit. It's part of who we are. And that is not living. That lifestyle will only lead to death. And that's why Paul tells us, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You see, when we're brought to trust in Jesus as our Savior, God starts a change in us. He plants in us a new man, a new person who is perfect and sinless, just like Jesus is perfect and sinless. That new man in us is strengthened every day as we hear his word, as we hear his word, which tells us of our sins, but also tells us of our Savior. We're strengthened as we think every day about what God did for us in our baptisms, that he washed away all of our sins. We're strengthened as we partake of the Lord's body and blood in his supper, refreshed by that very same forgiveness. And this transformation, this renewal, is never going to be complete in this life, but it's something that's going to be ongoing and continual throughout this life, and it will be complete only when we get to heaven. On this side of heaven, though, there will be that struggle. There will always be that struggle between your old Adam, that part of you that is conformed to this world, and your new man. But day by day, as you give yourself to God to be and to do what he wants, as you present your body as a living sacrifice to him, then you'll be able to contemplate and consider your life now and say, now this is living. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Heavenly Father, as we consider our lives, we are fully aware of how far short we fall in comparison to your standard of perfection. But we thank you for the incredible sacrifice of your Son, who washes us clean of our sins and grants eternal life to us. Help us every day to serve you in whatever ways we can, so that we grow more and more to be like our Savior. Give us always eyes to see ways to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.